Welcome to The Refresh from Insider. I'm Rob Gunther.
And I'm Carrie Donahue. It's Tuesday, September 13th, and we're here with you updating the news all day, every weekday.
Here's the latest.
Investors are not happy with this morning's consumer price index. The report found that prices increased 0.1% since July, which is not terrible news if you consider prices were recently at a 40-year high, but analysts had predicted prices would drop slightly. The fear is now that the Fed will hike interest rates another 0.75 point when it meets next week. The three major indexes plummeted on the news, all closed down. The Dow closed off nearly 1,276 points, or nearly 4%. The S&P 500 was off more than 4%. And the NASDAQ lost over 5%. Twitter prioritizes profits over security. That's what the company's former head of security, Peter Zatko, told the Senate Judiciary Committee at today's hearing. Zatko blew the whistle on Twitter earlier this year, accusing it of ignoring concerns about foreign operatives working inside the company. In his testimony, Zatko recounted a conversation where he told an executive about a potential spy on the payroll. And according to Zatko, the exec replied, "We already have one. What does it matter if we have more?" Zatko has claimed that the company's practices threaten not only millions of users, but also national security.
You know what they say, six times a charm, right? While some Republicans are scaling back their anti-abortion stances ahead of the midterms, Senator Lindsey Graham is introducing a bill today that would ban abortions after 15 weeks nationwide. He's proposed this type of ban five other times, and every time it's failed. Republicans are already facing backlash against strict bans enacted in some states post-Roe. And Graham, who's not even up for re-election in November, does not have the filibuster-proof support in the Senate he'd need for this to move forward. Go figure.
The New York Times and NBC News are requiring employees to return to the office at least part-time this week. But union members at both companies are staging a walkout, or rather, a stay home. At the Times, nearly 1,300 union employees have pledged to defy the return-to-office plans as part of a larger attempt to negotiate better pay and flexibility. At NBC News, over 200 union members who work on the company's websites have said they'll stay home this week. They claim the company is forcing them to return before negotiating a flexible work plan with the union. You can learn a lot about a person from their voice, maybe their age, maybe an accent gives you a clue to their background. You might even get a sense of their temperament. But what if you could hear if they were sick? A new project funded by the National Institutes of Health will build a database of voices that could help researchers detect changes brought on by Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or even cancer. It's such a new area of research, the first step is figuring out how to ethically collect the data. But at least one researcher says the good news is talk is cheap, making it easy to collect. Today and every day, we're updating the Refresh from Insider as news happens. So check back whenever you want to know the latest.
Coming up, Rebecca is out this week, but she left us this segment about what it means that the U.S. government is led by a group of mostly elderly politicians. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones is back in court today, just a month after a Texas jury ruled Jones had to pay nearly $50 million to the parents of one Sandy Hook victim. Now, the InfoWars host faces even more relatives of those impacted by the 2012 massacre and an FBI agent who responded to the shooting. Families say Jones's multi-year attempt to portray the shooting as a hoax made them constant targets of harassment, threats, and intimidation. Jones now says the shooting was real, not staged with crisis actors, but he defends his past comments as protected by free speech.
CNN and the New York Times are reporting that the Department of Justice has unleashed an onslaught of subpoenas to as many as 40 people in Trump's orbit related to its investigation into the January 6th insurrection. And it seized cell phones from two of the former president's top advisors, players linked to the so-called fake elector scheme meant to block Biden's victory in the Electoral College. As King Charles ascends to the throne, he's not only gaining immense power, but also untold riches. The king will inherit late Queen Elizabeth's nearly $950 million portfolio, as well as a share of her personal wealth. That amount is a big mystery. On top of all that, Charles has his own fortune. He spent half a century building a billion-dollar real estate empire with the help of tax breaks, offshore accounts, and investments. As a less popular figure than the queen, the king may spark renewed outrage from a country battling a cost-of-living crisis. Football fans around the country let out a collective "what the heck" last night when the Denver Broncos absolutely blew it in the final minute of their 17-16 loss against the Seattle Seahawks. Rookie coach Nathaniel Hackett had a whole minute left in the game to score just 1 point for the win. Instead, Hackett let the clock run out. 40 seconds. Then he had his kicker go out there and try to score a 64-yard field goal. The league record is 66 yards, by the way. Not an easy kick. He missed. Oh, mais non. French President Emmanuel Macron confirmed this morning that Jean-Luc Godard, the groundbreaking film director behind the New Wave movement, has died. He was 91. Godard got his start as a film critic before stepping behind the camera for his breakout movie Breathless in 1960. It broke all film norms, an improvised script, a constantly moving camera, and dramatic edits. The filmmaker continued to make genre-bending films like his 1965 Alphaville, a science fiction neo-noir. Godard is considered one of the most influential filmmakers of all time.
It seems that every level of U.S. government, from Congress to the White House to the Supreme Court, is helmed by, well, really old people. You could even say that with all these leaders in their 70s and 80s, the U.S. has a gerontocracy. So, how is our country supposed to prepare for the future when the ruling elite doesn't reflect the youthful society it represents? Insider's politics team is launching an ongoing series today about what it really means for a democracy to be largely in the hands of people who won't be around to experience many of the policies they enact. Deputy editor Dave Leventhal and politics correspondent Kimberly Leonard are both here to chat with us about it. So, Dave, you say that our government has become less reflective of our society in terms of age. Has it not always been this way?
It's always been this way, but the gap has grown larger and larger as the years and the decades have passed. So if you can consider that an American can vote at age 18, they're voting for a Congress right now that on the Senate side, the average age is about 63. On the House side, it's about 58. And effectively, since World War II, this is the oldest Congress that we have had. And it's a Congress that is dealing with some incredibly youthful issues, if you will. Congress is very much at the vanguard of tech policy and civil rights and social issues and energy consumption, climate change, and it's a heck of a lot easier to say, hey, drill, baby, drill, when you're 80 or 85. And the stark reality is that you're not going to be around 50 years from now when the sea level may be rising, when the temperature may be 2 or 3 degrees on average higher than it is today, when storms are stronger, when wildfires are raging all over the country. So the generational disconnect plays in a very real way for those who have many, many decades in front of them and can see a future that they believe is grim. And that's very damning in a way to what they feel to be a gerontocracy that isn't representative of them.
Yeah. Kimberly, you've actually written about some of the ways the brain changes as it ages. So what are some of the key differences you found between, say, the brain of a 70-year-old and a 30-year-old?
We can really start by saying that, first of all, everyone ages differently. There are certainly people who can achieve things in their 80s that some people even younger can't imagine achieving. But having said that, there are, generally speaking, changes that come with age. The brain actually starts shrinking, sorry to tell everyone, in your 30s. And then the acceleration of the brain shrinking begins in your 60s. So there are changes that happen that people, you know, might be a little bit slower, might forget certain things on a day-to-day basis. That's a normal part of aging. When it becomes more of an issue in terms of your health is when you see a decline in cognitive functioning. And so because we don't have a lot of information about our elected officials, even our presidents, a lot of the sort of chatter about people's age is just speculation. And so that's what we're kind of left with.
Kimberly, as a reporter, how did you go about covering this without falling into the trap of ageism?
You know, in America, so much of the focus is on youth and on looking young and feeling young and acting young. And there isn't so much of an appreciation for getting older. And also, you know, at the end of the day, this comes down to the fact that people have a huge variety in how they age. And so it's really important not to make any assumptions. And there are also positives that come with aging and positives that come with being in Congress or in a place of leadership for so long. You know, there's often chatter about when you get older, you become more wise. You have the ability to see the other perspective a little bit better than when you were younger. You might have more patience. So a lot of the focus might be on the negative, but in talking to aging experts, they really tried to underscore the positives that come with aging and the things to celebrate.
Dave, do you ever see a world in which there's a mandatory retirement age for people in certain positions, like, say, the Supreme Court?
So in the United States, there's a mandatory retirement age for all sorts of different jobs. If you're a general in the Army, if you're a commercial airline pilot, for two examples. The one place where you don't have a mandatory retirement age, where you also don't have term limits, is in Congress. If you get in Congress, it's very difficult to get you out of Congress. The power of incumbency is quite significant. So should we in the United States have a system in place where you don't have lawmakers just being able to stay as long as they want to? Should they be forced out because of term limits and only allowed to stay, say, 10 years, a dozen years, 15 years? It's a question that the country has grappled with. Democrats and Republicans at different points in time have been on the side of instituting term limits, although it's not something that we expect to see happen anytime, at least this Congress or perhaps next Congress.
Well, I can't wait to dive into this series. So Kimberly, Dave, thank you so much for working on it and for chatting with us here at The Refresh.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks so much.
You can find their project called Red, White, and Gray at insider.com.
Make sure to follow The Refresh from Insider on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave us a rating and review. It helps other people discover the show. I'm Carrie Donahue.
And I'm Rob Gunther. Talk to you soon.